Amen. So if you turn to your Pew Bibles to 1558, I'm going to invite Kathy to come up and read the word.
I just want to clarify before I read the scripture that this prayer book and app that we're promoting, Jacqueline mentioned that there's a scripture passage and then a scripture passage and then a reading. Those readings are actually prayers. So there's a scripture passage from the Old Testament and then a prayer in response to the passage, and then a scripture passage from the New Testament and then a prayer in response to the passage. So it's a very user-friendly app that way. It kind of guides you right into the prayer. Okay, so Mark 4, 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
So I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely love Sundays for a multitude of reasons, one of which we get to be here. I get to hear a lot of people who can sing a lot nicer than I can, and it's awesome. Get to catch up with friends, and then after we go home and we have this tradition. I think it's a Dutch tradition. We go home and we have a dessert. Then we have lunch, and then we might even have another dessert. It's like double desserts. Then we have some family time. We sometimes play games, but often not nowadays because Judah's running around doing things, I don't know. And then I might get in one of the best parts of the week, the Sunday afternoon nap. And what I always used to do as a single guy is I'd put my pillow on the couch, and about for half of the year I would turn on a football game, and by about 7 minutes into the first quarter, I'm asleep. I'm done. Then I might wake up to roll over and get something to drink, check the score at halftime, fall asleep again, wake up about 5 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and catch the best part of the game. But the afternoon nap is a good thing. It's one of my favorite things about Sunday afternoon. In fact, I am really hoping to have a Sunday afternoon nap this morning, if you can hear me, Lauren, somewhere in the building. I love napping on Sunday afternoons. The story that we're reading this morning involves a guy who has a nap. As we just have been looking over the past few months is the Gospel of Mark in the series of the first four chapters, looking about who he is, Jesus Christ, what he's all about. And last week we talked about three parables, the lamp on a stand, the growing of seeds, and the mustard seed. And what you'll notice about Mark in his writings, which we've said repeatedly, is there's an urgency about his writing. A lot of these accounts are eyewitness accounts, which we're going to illustrate here with this parable of Jesus calms the storm. And these accounts, these eyewitness accounts, are actually of Peter. Peter being there with Jesus, and this is Mark taking those eyewitness accounts and articulating them. And the urgency of maybe a big brother talking to his family saying, "You got to get this. Look at who he is and what he's about." And to close this series of the Gospel of Mark, we end with Jesus calms the storm. Parable that's really well known. You can follow along not only in the book of Mark, but in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. The story of Jesus, who in chapter 4 at the beginning, you can see that he has been preaching the gospel all day in these parables. And in fact, the crowds have gotten so large that he needs to jump on a boat and go into the water because they keep coming. And so he can use the hills of the land and the people as an amphitheater so they can hear him. Here he is on this boat and he's preaching all day. And now we pick up the story. He's just talked about the mustard seed parable and how it only takes a small amount of faith. God can use that. And he says, hey, let's go over to the other side. And Jesus has this plan that I'm going to take a nap while we travel across. And I thought we could look at this story in three ways. We can look at it, the calm before the storm, the calm during the storm, and the storm after the calm. So the calm during the storm. Here's Jesus and his disciples, and when I was talking about that eyewitness account, you can see it by some irrelevant details that he illustrates. One of them being, he says there's a number of other boats there. Something that somebody who need to be there to articulate. And it's Peter saying there was a lot of boats. They were all jumping in and following Jesus across the Sea of Galilee. Two, you notice that he's sleeping on a cushion. Well, how would you know that he's on a cushion? Well, you're there. And there's Jesus at the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion because he's been preaching all day. But I also thought that we could take a look at a bit of the science behind it. And so what I have here is a map of the Sea of Galilee. So what you'll see in the north to northwest tip, right where that blue section is, that is Capernaum. That's where Jesus has been preaching these parables. And what they're doing is they're going from that top north to northwest tip to this area over here. And so it's evening and they're taking a boat to get to the other side. But this is a very unique body of water. We have studied it. Scientists have looked at it. There are ships that constantly are going over it, through it, under it, as much as we can to learn about this sea, which is now called the Lake of Kinneret. Some facts about this body of water. It is the lowest below sea level body of fresh water in the world. It is 682 feet below sea level. It is surrounded by a number of different mountain ranges. So to the right, there's a large mountain range. That's where they're headed. To the left, the Tiberias Hills, another mountain range. And then at the top, a few miles north of Capernaum is Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is 9,200 feet above sea level. This is a massive mountain. And what it creates is the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Kinneret, is a bowl. If you go to this place on the west coast, there are parking lots where you park your vehicles to look at this. And it's a tourist attraction. There are large signs that say, watch out for the wind. See, what happens in this body of water that's a bowl, in effect, is these winds can be very, very treacherous. Specifically in the wintertime, because the cold air comes from the Mediterranean, which is about 30 miles west of this body of water. Damascus is to the northeast of this body of water, and directly south is the Dead Sea. And we know the Dead Sea for the Dead Sea Scrolls. And what happens in the summertime from the Golan Heights is you'll get eastern winds that are very warm, and they'll meet the cold water, and they'll create bad weather. In the wintertime, the wind comes from the northwest, down the mountain, cold winds, warm climate, and you get some pretty awful conditions. And there, this is a place that's constantly reminded of how bad the wind can get. And here's Jesus at nighttime with his disciples, and they're crossing it. And what he decides to do is to take a nap. This body of water is also very important to the nation of Israel. It provides about 50% of its fresh water. And it's also, because it's a bowl and it sits there, a lot of algae is at the bottom of it. It goes down in plateaus of 150 feet by 150 feet by 150 feet, and the algae sits there. And so fish are there a lot. There's actually recorded that in 1896, one boat over one day found 9,200 pounds of fish. So this body of water is an important body of water for the nation of Israel. Provides water, provides fish. And here's Jesus preaching the gospel at the top of it and saying, hey, let's cross. Let's go to the other side. Then you'll notice here he is, and he takes a nap. Falls asleep on a cushion in the stern. And I think it's a reminder to say that he is man. That the guy has been preaching all day. He's tired. He's taking a nap. And then we see it change. All of a sudden, the weather changes. And they have a storm on their hands. And the wind is roaring and the waves are crashing over the boat. And yet, what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. Water's pouring in. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. I'm thinking at this moment, and I see water pouring in the boat, and we're going to drown. I'm not very calm. I'm thinking, we're going to die. Help us. So what do the disciples do? Hey, master. Hey, guy, could you help us out here? We're drowning. And how does Jesus react to we're drowning? He gets up. He rebukes the wind. And he says, quiet, be still. Quiet, be still. See, during the storm, Jesus is pretty calm. But this is also an illustration of the storms that we have sometimes in our lives. When I became a Christian, one of my leaders explained the Christian walk a lot like this. And I've noticed it now more that I live out here in Maple Ridge, is we get a lot of fog. There are times when I come home from a meeting here and I'm driving home and it's hard to even see where you're going because there's so much fog. But think of our Christian walk as you're walking along and there's fog everywhere. And you can't really see where you're going. And you're looking around and you might see things that are really close to you, but to see the big picture, it's pretty foggy. You can't see everything. And then every once in a while, that fog lifts and things become a bit more clear. We might experience a mountaintop, might experience, say, some direction. Some things that we've been planning for come to fruition. We have this idea, we build this relationship, and all of a sudden we can see a little bit further. And you think, God, I can see. I know where I'm going. I have a plan. I have a business plan, and I can see where it's going to lead me. I want to be an athlete. I want to be a soccer player. And look, my hard work is paying off. I can see. And then like that, the fog comes in. We can't see. And like that, Jesus and his disciples are crossing this Lake of Kinneret, and the storm hits. And we ask the question, what's the point of this storm? And how it was explained to me with this fog is our relationship with God is knowing that in the fog, when we can't see where we're going, he's still there. He wants time with you. And we can be so focused on what we're looking at. And he's going, hey, man, I'm right here. Oh, that's good. God, do you want to talk about my business plan? I got a new relationship or seen a really good movie on the weekend. Should we talk about that? Sure, man, yeah. It's you and me. Can't see where we're going, but it's you and me. Sometimes the storms, when the water's just pouring in, they don't come just little. They come all at once. And we can ask the question so often, why? Why, God, the storm? I'm in middle school. It was grade 6. And I remember coming home one day from school and we got a phone call. And it was grandma. My grandpa had been walking on a crosswalk in Agassiz. And he was hit by a drunk driver. And in that moment, when he flew back from the contact, he hit his head. And he forgot everything. He forgot who we were, the people around him. And a few months later, he died in hospital. And I remember having so many questions. I didn't know God. Grandma talked about God. Grandma even prayed with me. But I didn't know. But I missed my grandpa. Then a couple of months later, after grandpa passed, I had a best friend. His name was Shane. I've talked about Shane before. I wore a tie for him. Shane passed away. See, that morning, there was an open door policy at his house. What I did is I would run, say hi to his mom, running upstairs. He had a bunk bed. He would sleep in the bottom bunk. He had cerebral palsy, and I would jump in the top bunk, and I would just start spouting off things to wake him up. I was the early morning guy. He was the late night guy. And that morning, I start talking to him, and I hear no answer. And I go down, and I feel him, and he's cold. My friend had died. So in 2 months, my grandpa had passed away. And then my best friend dies. Then that weekend, come home from a tournament, come into our house, and the ambulances are there. My mom had attempted to take her own life, was brought to the hospital. And I remember in that moment, it was too much to handle. I was numb. The water had poured in the boat, and I was sinking fast. When I reflect on that now even, I can honestly sit there and talk to God and say, God, I still don't get it. I still don't know why it all happened at once. I think sometimes we can certainly go through these storms, huh, church? Where it seems like the water is just coming in so fast that we can't keep up. Where it's pounding and pounding and pounding. And we're treading water. And yet, as we see in this story, what does he tell to the storm? Quiet. Be still. See, we've seen throughout the Gospel of Mark that he has controlled the spiritual realm. He's healed people from demonic presences. He's healed people in the human realm. He's laid their hands on him. He said, hey, guy with leprosy, it's okay. But now for the first time, we're seeing God control the created realm. That he has power over the wind and over water. But the most interesting point of this story, you know, stop for a sec. Sometimes I think Jesus has a sense of humor. I know he does. But I'm just thinking, the guy knows, I mean, water's coming in and he has the audacity to just keep being asleep. And I think, man, I wish when I was going through stuff that I just had the presence of mind, the patience, the peace, the calm to just take a nap. Right? He's sitting there and he's having a nap, and I can just imagine what the disciples are doing in this little boat. We've actually found a boat. When I say we, I don't mean me. I had nothing to do with it. But humanity has found a boat at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And it fits about 11 to 12 people. That's the boat that we think they were in. And so there was these number of boats, and all the storm water's coming, and the winds are pushing, and Jesus is asleep. And I can just imagine what these disciples are doing in this moment. I mean, they're at the end. They're thinking, we're going to die. The audacity to just take a nap, to wake up and say, man, be still. It's all good. And then he leads into his questions. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They looked at each other and said, who is this? He controls the wind and the sea. Here's the thing. There's the calm before the storm. There's the calm during the storm, which we just talked about. Taking a nap, he wakes up and he talks to the wind. He says, we're done. But then there's the storm after the calm. They were terrified and afraid after it was completely calm. They were afraid after they found out they weren't going to die. Why were they afraid? Because they just realized that this guy is both man and God. That they're in a boat sitting with God. They just realize that no matter how bad that storm would get, they were in a boat with God. Look at what he can do. He can calm the storm. And I might sound animated here. I might be up even raising my voice. But what we know about this portion of Scripture is it sounded like this. Quiet, be still. This presence. When I talked about that storm earlier, and I think back and I go, God, why? Why do these things happen sometimes? I'm asking the wrong question. There is a reason why this story comes right after the parable of the mustard seed. It is very intentional. Because sometimes, it takes this much of faith, and God can use it. Because it's not about the quality or the quantity of your faith. It's not about how much faith you might have in the practice or what you're up to. It's not how much faith. It's who is your faith in. And these disciples realize that they have God in their boat. But when we're going through storms, church, guess who's in your boat? God. God's in your boat. God's in your boat. And the water can be pounding. God's in the boat. This week I had the opportunity to visit with somebody in our community who I would say is going through a bit of a storm. And we start talking, and we had a great conversation, and then this person says that in the midst of this storm, with tears in their eyes, I'm holding on to God. I don't know what else to do. But I'm holding on. I'm holding on to God. We've heard these two words since we were little kids. We've heard them again and again. They've been used over and over. We've used them countless times. These two words appear in the Bible one way or another hundreds and hundreds of times. And these two words are trust God. Trust God. The beautiful part of this story is the God that we put our faith in. He can stop the storm. But that might not be the plan. We put our faith in a God who what he creates, he can control. But by love and by mercy and by grace, we get to experience. It might be an illness. It might be a family member who's struggling. It might be a grandkid, a child, a brother, a sister, a parent, a grandparent who's been diagnosed with an illness, who's passed away. It might be a broken relationship. It might be some immense mistake. It might be shame. It might be guilt. It might be the thought and feeling of being alone, of being inadequate. It might be that kids at school don't understand you. It might be that you feel that the pressure and the weight of everything is on your shoulders. Trust God. Trust God. We learn in the story that in the midst of a storm, he has the power to say no. And these disciples are looking at each other going, God's in our boat. That God that they talk about, they revere, they're in awe of, they're realizing the power that he has. That's the same God that's here. That's the same God that's in your life. That's the same God that in the midst of the storm, you can hold on to. And the truth of this story is that he is powerful. That what he creates, he sustains. And what he sustains, he can control. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Because a God who's that powerful is a God who can love that much. And a God who can love that much is a God who can be that powerful. And that God is the God that we proclaim here today. That God is the God that we worship and glorify. That God is the God that connects us. That God is the God that in the midst of the storm, we can hold on to. That God is our God. It's your God. He's more than enough, church. He's more than enough. And in the midst of the storm, you can hold on to him. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you continue to do. And God, I thank you that we can proclaim the gospel as good news. We can proclaim that the gospel about the story of your son who died and rose again has power and life here today. The same power that you illustrated in this story of you calming the storm, you have that same power today. That in the midst of our storms, when the water seems so deep, would we trust you? God, I thank you that you are awesome, that you are powerful, that you reveal yourself in a number of different ways. But God, I thank you that we have the opportunity and privilege to find you. God, I thank you for the people here this morning. I thank you for all those who maybe aren't here. Maybe there's storms in people's lives. And they're going through some tough things, God. And would we declare, would we proclaim that you are God, that you are powerful, that you are on your throne, that you are God alone. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. You're the mighty counselor. You're the redeemer. You're the restorer. You're the father. You're the king. You're the Lord. And would we choose this morning that even when we don't know why, we'll put our trust in you. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen. Amen. The team's going to come up and sing. So why don't you stand and let's respond this morning.